Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 26, I'll be having a conversation with Lolly Daskal, the author of The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. Lolly has 30 years of experience coaching high performance leaders, and we had a great conversation today. So get something to write with, something to write on, and listen up. So today on the Leading While Green podcast, it's a privilege and honor to host Lolly Daskal here with us today. Lolly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Lolly, I'm going to read the book jacket overview of you. And then after that, give the audience sort of a snapshot into who you are and what gets you going. So the book jacket overview says, Lolly Daskal is the founder of Lead From Within, a global leadership executive coaching and consulting firm based in New York City. With more than 30 years of experience with some of the world's largest and most successful companies, she is one of today's most sought-after executive leadership coaches and consultants. She has written thousands of articles and columns for Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, Huffington Post, Psychology Today, and the book that I just finished reading, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. Now, that's a mouthful, and it's the book jacket version of you. But Lolly, tell us a little bit more about you and what keeps you going.
So I have been in my business for over 3 decades, as you just read. And I actually, the shortest version that I can say about myself is I live and breathe leadership. This is what I have been doing, and this is what I'm passionate about. I'm about grooming leaders, creating leaders, and having leaders lead long, you know, legacies of their lives. So that's what I have been doing, and that's what I'm passionate about.
So with this idea of grooming and creating leaders and having a successful career spanning the past 30 years, how have you seen leadership change over the years, or even definitions or perceptions of what it means to be a leader? How's that changed over the years?
So when I first started as a consultant and as a coach, the demographics of leadership, or the archetype of leadership, was all about power. It was all about authority. It was all about my way or the highway. Then what happened was that I started to introduce a new concept. My company's called Lead From Within. That it wasn't so much about telling people what to do. It was more about having the awareness of self. And for a while, people had a hard time with, what do you mean I have to look in the mirror? What do you mean I have to check myself? What do you mean I have to know myself? And people had a very hard time. Most people, when you talk about leadership, always want the answers to, what should I do? How should I do it? When should I do it? And where should I do it? And my biggest difference in coaching is, who are you? That's the question that I want to be answered. Because once you know who you are, then you can take everything of that knowledge and you're able to serve others. You're able to lead others. I really find that the people that don't know themselves have a very hard time having influence. So in the beginning, when leadership went from authority, it now is influence. Where it went from my way or the highway, it's now all about what do you think? What do you feel? And what do you know? So we've evolved as the years have gone by. Unfortunately, in the past year and a half, we have seen a leadership at the top level that has gone back to the early 1970s and 1980s, where we're going back to my way or the highway. And there are some businesses that are embracing it and saying, oh, thank God I could go back to that. But there are some leaders that are saying, no, we have evolved as who we are as human beings. We're not going backwards. We want to move forward. So there's a push-pull in the industry these days, but I am there to remind them at the core of leadership It's always about knowing who you are. And when you know who you are, then you're able to have influence on others and you're able to serve them.
You talk about this push-pull that we face in the industry today. For say I'm a emerging leader and I get, for some reason, I get up to the C-suite and I'm in the C-suite. I'm a part of this executive leadership team, and I'm standing in the middle of a culture that on one side, the organization is excited. I'm an empathetic leader. I'm high on EQ. I got the emotional intelligence things going. I'm really resonating, getting to know my staff and those who are part of our group. But then on the other side, there's this old regime of leadership that wants me to just tell them what to do and tell them how to do it and tell them what the timeline is. How would you suggest, as an emerging leader, a millennial leader, a young adult leader, how to best navigate those two leadership cultures?
So I have the privilege of seeing that every single day. And I have been seeing it now for many years. Some people say, just tell them what to do and they'll follow you. And then there are those that have really worked on themselves and know that by telling people what to do, you alienate them. So the biggest secret or the thing that this emerging leader can do is lead by example, is to not veer off from what they know to be true. And I always say to every single person, if you've put in a position, you got here for a certain reason. Now you have to groom yourself into that position, because what got you here is not going to get you to the next level. So if you've had the empathy, the EQ, and all those wonderful things that got you to leadership, most likely if they made it to the C-suite, it's not because they have empathy. It's not because they have emotional intelligence. What got them to the C-suite is usually their skills and their competence. That's what usually gets an individual to a C-suite. But if they got there, if they are there in the C-suite, now show them what separates leaders. It will be the empathy. It will be the EQ. Most people don't promote leaders for how empathetic they are. They promote individuals for how good they are, how competent they are. So now you have an opportunity to bring all those skills that you're really good at and lead by example. Because the thing is, most likely in a leadership position, you will have to stand alone and you will have to stand apart from the crowd. You will have to do what is hard, not always what is easy. And you will have to speak the truth to power. And that means empathy, emotional intelligence, to connect, to bring people along. And that's very important to remember. People that are usually promoted to C-suite is always because of their competence. Now let's show them the confidence we have on the kind of leadership to bring people along. Does that make sense?
That makes great sense. Sometimes we get pushback when we hear things like you have to stand alone, you have to speak the truth, power. And I think it was very enlightening to share that it's not just being nice to people, not just being emotionally intelligent, but it's that competence that gets you promoted to these positions of influence. How do I wrestle with, maybe I come from, and you highlight this in the book that we'll really get to unpacking in a moment, but what if I come from a background where, you know, in my family, we didn't speak the truth to power. We didn't call things out. We didn't call a spade, and we sort of acquiesced. But now I'm in a place where I sit with a board of directors or I sit with a team of leaders and something is glaringly wrong and I can't bring myself to say, you know what, this is what we need to do and how we need to work through it. How can I build up the courage to take those stances and to make those comments?
So the best kind of leader never says, this is what's wrong. They never say this. They never bring someone's attention to what is wrong. What they do, and if you read The Leadership Gap, the book that I wrote, it's in a very original thought and thinking, because it teaches you to be a leader, and it's based on psychology in a way that most books are not based on psychology and leadership. One of the things that we want to do when we are a leader is we want to empower people
and not disempower people. And I talk about seven archetypes. And mm-hmm. one of the archetypes that is very, very important in the book is the difference between a navigator and a fixer. A navigator is an individual that is very smart. They know exactly what needs to happen. They understand the problems and they actually know all the solutions, but they don't sit and fix the problem. They don't say, we have a problem, this is how we need to fix it. Even if they have all the answers, they navigate through the problem. They ask questions. They listen. They stay attuned. They'll say something like, have you thought of this? Or did you realize that this was happening? If you realize this was happening, what do you think we can do? Instead of saying, I saw this, this is wrong, we need to do something. Mm-hmm. If you come in with an inquisitive mind, a curious mind, wanting to learn, wanting to know more, because you only know what you know anyway, you will bring people together and you will bring people along. So every person that is elevated into a leadership, you know, position should become a navigator and not a fixer. Think about all the relationships that you have, your personal relationships, and you have a problem. Let's say you go to your best friend or your spouse or your partner, you say, you know, I had such a terrible day today. I hate my boss. And immediately your partner, your spouse, your best friend says, oh, that's terrible. You should do this. You should do that. Mm-hmm. And all you feel is frustrated and alienated. So the thing is, you don't want somebody to fix your problem. You want somebody to listen and be silent. Those two words have the same letters in the words, right? Listen mm-hmm. and silence. The only way you're really listening is when you're silent. So someone comes to you and says, honey, I had such a terrible day. And you go, yes, why was it a terrible day? Oh, is that what he said? Why do you think he said that? Or why do you think she said that? Be inquisitive and listen and be silent. That will empower their relationship and the power will empower the person you're talking to.
That's good. That's rich. That's more than the price of the book itself. This idea of listening and the power it has on our leadership. Now, at the beginning of the book, you tell this story, and I'm not going to give it all away because I really want everyone listening to go out and buy a copy of The Leadership Gap. But you tell the story about a seasoned business person who has experienced great success as an executive, but now in their role, in this volunteer role, they're finding what got them the success as an executive is really detrimental to the role they're calling to have as a member of this volunteer board. And can you help us kind of walk through this idea of what got you there won't keep you there? I know you talked about it before, but can you just tease it out a little more for those of us who, you know, smart, talented, gifted, but this idea of, yeah, those things are good and we need to maintain them, but whatever got you to the seat won't necessarily keep you there.
Right. So we talked a little bit about it before when I mentioned that most likely people that get promoted about their skills and their competence. It's about what they do. But when they arrive at leadership, when they're escalated and elevated to a leadership position, it's good you know what to do, but this is not the time to do it. Now is the time to show who you are. And it's to highlight everybody else's skills and mm-hmm. everybody else's competence. It's not so much about what you do, but who you are when you become a leader. And this pivot, this knowledge, this secret is so important because I've seen many times when you get elevated, okay, I have 10, 100 years of experience and I know exactly what to do. No. You might know what to do. Times have changed. We have more knowledge. We have more wisdom. We have more skills. And if we become more of a team, if we become more about you and me instead of I, then it becomes a very rich source of leadership. Leaders are not about serving themselves. It's about serving others. And if you can remember that at the level in the C-suite or whatever you get promoted to, you will be known as a great leader.
Talk to us a little bit about this, what you mean by the leadership gap. And I know as you explain the archetypes in the book, and you paint a very vivid and clear picture of the strengths that a leader can have. And we find a lot of times that we focus a lot on our strengths, but we kind of turn a blind eye to what some of our weaknesses and challenges are. So when you introduce this idea of the leadership gap in the book, what do you mean by a leadership gap?
So you just said something very, very important, that most of us spend our time concentrating on our strengths. But the thing is, for every strength that we have a weakness. For everything that is great about us, we have a gap. And it's a given. It's not like it doesn't exist. And if we don't acknowledge that gap, think about it this way, and I talk a lot about this in the book. What we don't own ends up owning us.
What we
don't acknowledge becomes something that becomes a burden to us. So think about it this way. Another archetype in the book is the rebel. The rebel is an individual who wants to make an impact and wants to make a difference in the world. But the virtue of which they need to have, the strength that they need to have, is confidence. But what happens when we get stressed, when we get challenged, when we're in over our head? Most likely, all of us fall into the gap and we become the imposter who has self-doubt. An imposter is an individual who says, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough to do the task. And they start to have self-doubt about themselves. But this is very important to remember. Now, I've been coaching for a long time and I've done an enormous amount of research on this. I have found that 99%, I hope everybody's listening, 99% of high-achieving individuals suffer from the imposter syndrome.
Wow.
So that means you, me, and half of the CEOs that are now leading their companies, right? So if that is true, if they know they have an imposter within them and they feel this syndrome and they have self-doubt, if they don't own that part, if they don't own the gap is going to start to own them. That means if they try to hide from it, it's just going to blow up in their face. Is that they may feel they're keeping a secret how insecure they are, but everybody knows that they're insecure. The minute you own it, the minute you take ownership of your self-doubt and you learn to leverage it, is the moment you fill the gap. So I teach the 7 archetypes of how you can stand in your greatness and what comes with that greatness. What are the 7 gaps? And if you can bridge them, if you can leverage them, you can become an individual that can make such an impact on the world and such a difference on the world because you're coming from the best place of who you are.
I think everyone listening to this or who will listen to this in the future probably took a collective sigh of relief when you talked about the imposter syndrome. I know I talked to some of the younger leaders that I'm affiliated with, and having that feeling of going to work one day and people are going to realize that I don't know as much as maybe they thought I knew when they hired me, or I'm in the middle of a project and, you know, my wheels are spinning. But to know that the great majority, if not all of us, are wrestling with this imposter syndrome, then we can find some solace in that. But you're suggesting it's not enough just to accept it. It's then to learn how to leverage it.
Right. And leveraging, that means if you have self-doubt, then what do you need to do? Master a new skill. Ask more questions. Involve yourself. You know, Steve Jobs did something really wonderful. When he hired teams, he always hired A-plus people, people that were smarter than him. Why? Because it would elevate him. He knew what he knew, but he surrounded himself with smarter people. And so I always say to every single person, if you have self-doubt in what you do, learn it. Ask. Surround yourself by individuals. People love to share what they know. So ask for help.
Lali is speaking truth. Those of you who are listening to this, after reading her book, after being convicted of some of my own leadership gaps, the natural thing to do for me was to ask for help. And I reached out to her and she graciously granted me the opportunity to talk to her on this episode of Leading While Green. Lali, I got one more question for you. I know you're busier than most of us can imagine, but I just got one more question for you before we conclude our exchange today. And that question is, why should every leader who wants to be effective get a coach?
Oh, what a great question. So interestingly enough, most people think, I don't need a coach. If I have a coach, there's something wrong with me. And the thing is, the coach is the biggest compliment that a person can either make to themselves or that someone should know about them, should know about who they are. When you invest in a coach, it means you're taking yourself to the next level. As an individual, we only know what we know. Sometimes we don't even know what we don't know. Hmm. When you have someone who's seasoned, someone who's experienced, someone who has been there, done that, someone who has surrounded herself with the top leaders of the world, if you have her as a coach, they can bring that experience to this individual and they don't have to make the mistakes. If I've made a mistake over and over and over again, I'm going to make sure my clients never make that mistake. And so the thing is, get yourself not just any coach, but a coach that knows what they're doing. And how do you know what they're doing? They have the experience. They've placed themselves in the situations of where you want to go. The biggest compliment an individual can give themselves is to have a great coach.
You heard it here. The biggest compliment that you can offer to yourself is getting a great coach. That comes from Lali Daskal. She has 30 years of experience coaching and helping mentor and guide high performance leaders from around the world. The book that I just finished reading by her is The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. And I want you to pick up that book. Lali, where can we find you? Where are you on social media? Where's your space in the digital space that we can connect?
So I feel like I'm everywhere, but the best place to find me is my blog, which is at lalidaskal.com. But I write an article for Inc. every day. The best thing that you could do is to pick up the book, The Leadership Gap. Why? Because the book was written for you. It's not so much about me. I want every single person that wants to make an impact to the world to embrace their greatness. And that's where you can find it. On the pages of The Leadership Gap, you can find yourself. Most of the people that have read the book, they've always say to me at all kinds of book signings, they go, how do you know me so well? This book is about me. And I say, no, this book is about us. It's about the collective as an individual. At the heart of who we are, we all want to make a difference. We all want to live our purpose and we all want to leave our mark. Pick up The Leadership Gap and you can do that.
Listen, folks, if you want to get inside of Lali's brain, I want to encourage you. She just encouraged you, but I want to encourage you to pick up the copy of The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. I guarantee you, you won't be able to put it down, and it'll reveal a lot of things about you and your leadership and help you take that next step as a leader. Lali, thank you for joining me on the Leading While Green podcast. We wish you all the best for another 30 years as you continue to grow and mentor other leaders.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to be speaking with you.
So what'd you think? What did you think of my conversation with Lali Daskal? Incredible stuff today. 30 years of experience coaching, consulting, training high performance leaders from around the world. Lali has lived and moved and operated in the C-suite at the top level of organizations, leading out and helping out with leadership transitions. And she has a wealth, an incredible wealth of knowledge. And I suggest that everyone picks up a copy of her book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. And I got some links to it in the show notes. All the links to Lali's stuff is in the show notes. She's been on just about every major news network. You can catch her videos on YouTube, just Google Lali Daskal, and you get a whole host of information. But I'm thinking about some takeaways from my conversation with Lali, some takeaways from this experience. And I know you've probably written some down, but there are a few that stick out in my mind. The first of which is this idea that what what got you here won't keep you here. I think a lot of us in the leadership space resonate with that idea that what got you here won't keep you here. As Lolly pointed out, you got somewhere because of your competence. And we know that life has some unfair elements, and there are some people who are elevated to positions that they might not be suited for. It might not fit them because of relational dynamics or a favor has been pulled. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you as a leader being elevated, being given an opportunity because of your competence. You've worked hard. You've been diligent. You have a track record for getting things done. And because of that, you were given a higher level of responsibility. And when you get there, I think a lot of us struggle to realize that once you get there and you achieve that post where you have a higher level of responsibility, it's now not just what you do, it's how you do it. It's how you interact with people. It's how you treat people. It's how you get along. It's some of that kindergarten stuff, how you play well with others, how you share. And it's really a call for us, as Lolly mentioned, that leadership has changed. The great man archetype of leadership is really faded. Do as I say, don't show any vulnerabilities. I have all the answers. This is the way we have to do it. That archetype or icon of leadership is really faded. And now we need leaders who can nurture and grow their people and develop them and coach them to lead at a high level. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is if you're open about yourself, if you're honest about yourself, if you know what your leadership gaps are. Another one of my big takeaways, my last question for Lolly was why should every leader have a coach? And I love her response. Having a coach is the biggest compliment that you can give to yourself. It's saying that you're taking your responsibility of leadership seriously and you're trying to get to the next level. Now, because of this, I've opened up my coaching program for emerging leaders. I'm looking for young leaders or leaders who are just settling into a sizable responsibility and really are struggling with what to do. Opening up my emerging leaders coaching program, one-on-one coaching. I'm only taking a handful of leaders. And once the slots are closed, they're closed. And I got some links to that in the show notes on how I can help coach you over the next several months to growing as a leader. Because all of us need to grow. All of us need to make changes. All of us need to be pushed and stretched if we're going to grow as leaders. Hey, everybody, that's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. I've been on this run. I'm trying to go for 52 straight episodes without taking a week off because I promised my mastermind group that I would go for 52 straight, and we're halfway there. This was episode number 26. So I need you to help me out. I need you to share this episode across social media. I need you to hop on iTunes and subscribe and also leave me a review and a rating, a 5-star review and a couple of notes on why this podcast means so much to you so we can take this message of effective leadership around the world. And until next time, take care and God bless.